Yesterday we had our third shiur on the transmission of Torah in the series on Mesiras HaTorah and to understand how the halacha evolves. Yesterday's shiur, I want to give a review on yesterday's shiur. We started the shiur by correcting something that we had mistakenly presented the day before when we were studying the Chazon Ish, who's trying to understand the 40 years of Moshe and Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar and how the Torah was converted from Torah Shebal Peh that was given in its entirety, entire mitzvahs, according to Rabbi Akiva, at Har Sinai, and the Torah Shebichsav that was given, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Megillah, Megillah, according to Reish Lakish, Chasuma, through these Megillos in which the Torah was transmitted to Klal Yisrael and then committed to writing, and there was a final distinction between the two Torahs, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh. What about all those Parshios in which Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have been confused about what the halacha is alma, and then halacha, we had the parasha that the parashas that the Chazon Ish mentioned, Michal Shabbos, Megadev, Nachlos, in this week's parashas Pinchas Nachlos, with Benos Tzlofcha, and other issues that came up with the Bnei Shiftei Yosef. We also had the parasha Baloscha of Pesach Sheni, which is not mentioned by the Chazon Ish. And what I want to correct is that I think yesterday I had a discussion about Parshas Naso and the Chanukas HaMizbeach, the Chanukas HaMishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Agolos, the wagons which Moshe received from the Nesiim, and Hashem commanded Moshe Kach Me'itam. And if I recall correctly, what we said was that in the case of Chanukah, the Chanukah HaMizbeach, Chanukah HaMishkan, in the case of the Agolos, in Parshas Naso, it was that the Nesiim figured out the Ratzon Hashem. You know, it was a kind of like a Baruch Shekivanti. There was the Ratzon Hashem, and they figured it out. So they were really just playing a secondary role in revealing the Ratzon Hashem. But the real human initiative, we said, was in Pesach Sheni, because there it was Hashem who agreed to the das of those Anoshim, the Tmei Nefesh, who came forward and requested and craved for a second attempt to bring the Pesach Sheni because they couldn't bring it in Pesach Rishon. But I made a mistake. I just want to correct that. It's the opposite. It's the reverse. It's not the way we said it yesterday, that in the case of Chanukah, in the case of the Agolos, the Nesiim played a secondary role, and they only figured out the Das, the Ratzon Hashem. On the contrary, if you read the Ramban's language carefully, then with regard to the Nesiim, the Ramban uses the following phrase. I'm just trying to read the language carefully so we get the gist of it. The Ramban says, Bavur heyos ha'golos l'tzorech ha'korbonos yikru'u korbon. In other words, it was the initiative of the Nesiim, shall itochen sheyusu alavim al kotev karshe amishkan v'adonim. And the Nesiim understood, they came up with this idea of the Agolos, that it was absolutely necessary. V'ashem tzivas Moshe kach me'itam, and also with regard to the behemoths for the korbanos, hakol, everything Hashem said, everything, and the Ramban is clear that the initiative was that of the Nesiim. He says, "Kol echad menisim ola b'machshava lahavi Chanukah lamizbeach." And really, the emphasis here is on the concept that the Nesiim, they themselves came up with this idea. It was really a chiddush of the Nesiim. And here's the clincher: the Ramban, in explaining Me'itam, he says, "Hiskima daitos al Kodesh Baruch Hu," that the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei, here let me read to you the Ramban's language in the sugi of Karbonos Chanukah. This is in Bamidbar Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Ramban says, "V'hinei Hashem hanichbad hiskim al das hanesiim." It's very clear from the Ramban's language that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu made of may have made a slight change in the way the Nesi'im had understood it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim to the initiative of the Nesi'im. So any tzivui of Hashem came as a result of, in the wake of the Nesi'im. That's his language with regard to the Chanukas HaNesi'im. However, when the Ramban speaks about the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, there his language is different. He says, Hiskima daitam lidas elyona, that they figured out what the das elyona was. So again, which came first? The human idea and initiative, or the divine idea? In the case of Chanukah Samizbeach, Chanukah Sanasiyim, it's Hiskim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the Das Sanasiyim. Obviously, the Nesi'im play the major primary role in coming up with these ideas. It was the Das Sanasiyim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted and agreed to. And an entire section of mitzvah, which according to the Ramban repeats itself both at the time of the Chanukah of Bayis Rishon and Shlomo HaMelech, and at the time of the Chanukah of Bayis Sheni of Ezra Nehemiah, all these Chanukos are going to pattern themselves after the Chanukas HaNesi'im in Parshas Noso of the Mishkan. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the shtempel, the Gishpanka, his approval to the entire idea and the initiative of the Nesi'im. And that's the Ramban's language, Hashem HaNichbad Hiskim Al Das HaNesi'im. Okay? So again, they wanted to bring their Korbanos on the eighth day of the Miluim, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzavah nasi echad liyom yakrivu. So it was that was the change that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. But it's obvious that according to the Ramban, tzivui applies to the Chanukas HaMizbeach because Hashem made some sort of change. But fundamentally what we have here is the haskam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the initiative of the Nesi'im. That's what's going on over here. And therefore, says the Rabban, Yitochen shei mitzvah l'doros sheichan chuliolam beis hamikdash v'mizbech. There should always be a Chanukah. And then the Ramban embarks upon it a comparison between the Chanukah of Shlomo Melech of Bais Rishon and the Chanukah of Bais Sheni, all in the light of the Chanukas and Nesi'im. So it was really their initiative. And as we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiskim l'das L'das HaNesi'im. But in the Parsha of the Tmeim in Korban Pesach, there the Ramban says, Hiskima Daitam, the Tmeim Nefesh, L'das HaYonah. That Adarabba, the Das HaYonah was a given. And their Haskoma was to come up with the Das HaYonah, and they were able to do so. In fact, when you look at the Parsha and the Mitzvah of Pesach Sheni, you'll see that very little, really a limited amount, comes from the Tmei Nefesh. They just presented the question, they registered it on the table, but HaKadosh Baruch was Mechadesh, the concept of Pesach Sheni, the date, the calendar date for Pesach Sheni, all the nature of the Chiyuvim, who's obligated in Pesach Sheni and when, and all the dinim that apply to the Chag itself as a Chag B'fnei Atzmo, of that calendar date and year, all this is given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one of the mitzvahs of Tayag. And that's what we saw in the language of Rav Kuperman in his Sefer Kedushas Pshuto Shel Mikra, that in effect, what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai in terms of Pesach Sheni was the Das, in a very abstract sense, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he placed that mitzvah into Beis Gnozov, into his treasury, so to speak, locked up under, was under lock and key, all depending upon whether the Tmei Nefesh, the human initiative, would come. But really, in effect, the mitzvah was already a given in potential. It was Bekoach. We needed the Nesi'im, the Tmeim, in their human initiative to bring this mitzvah from Bekoach to befall, and then become part of the Torah as we know it. But the Pesach Sheni was already, so to speak, registered in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, as we said, in a potential form. And then Rav Kupman's language is, Ela delulei hayozma shel atmei nefesh, if not for the initiative of those who were tamei and came forward asking for a second round or a possibility, an opportunity to bring the Pesach Sheni. Ulai, says Rav Kupin, afpam lo hoisa yoredes, this sugya, this parasha, this mitzvah Pesach Sheni wouldn't have come down. Min ha-maimad shel bekach, to befall, it wouldn't have actually implemented itself, come down to this world, el mizgeret ha-mitzvot, and to be incorporated into the framework of Tariq mitzvahs, ha-machayvos shel ha-Torah, which are actively generate obligations, and therefore mitzvah zos kosem ha-ramban sheskima daitom l'das el-yona. So again, the shift and the, how should I say, the percentage of human effort and contribution in molding the final mitzvah as we know it in the case of Chanukah and Mizbeach was gigantic. The human element was, shall we say, 70. The divine element was 30. It was the 70-30 relationship. In the case of Pesach Sheni, it was the reverse. You know, here the human initiative accounts for perhaps 10% of the mitzvah. 90% of the mitzvah is that Das Elyon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was a given, that was in potential and base Gnozov, and was already transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu in its potential form. Would it have come into existence? Would it have been activated and incorporated in Tayag had the Tmei Nefesh Adam not come forward? If that parasha didn't happen historically, well, Rav Kupman says we don't know. Again, on the side that it wouldn't have happened, I don't know how you would get Tayag Mitzvahs. Maybe he's saying that eventually, at some point in history, the mitzvah would have come out of the Beis Gnozov, but that's very difficult because we know that the 40 years ending with Moshe Rabbeinu's writing the Torah and transmitting the Torah Shebal Peh orally, Pnei Yisrael, Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe at the end of the 40 years, that clinches and closes the process of Torah and Tayag Mitzvahs. So if during the 40 years there never would have been Tmei Nefesh Adam who came forward under their own initiative to ask for Pesach Sheni, perhaps, says Rav Kupman, the mitzvah never would have come down from the Bekoach into the Befoel. The mitzvah never would have been freed from the Beis Gnozov. Then the question obviously becomes, what would have been with Taryag? And maybe the concept of Taryag mitzvahs then means those mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu in an abstract form and may or may not have been activated in the final creation of the Matkonet of Torah, as we know it, the Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebal Peh, as part of the mitzvahs. But it's hard to believe that then the number of mitzvahs in the counting of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch would have been 612. Perhaps they would have found another mitzvah or come up with a new klal to generate the 613. I don't know. That's very unclear. But the fascinating and revolutionary chiddush here is that A, the human initiative in the case of Chanukah, Samizbech, and the Agolos was gigantic. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing, so to speak, a secondary role. Obviously, we need God to incorporate this into Torah. And according to the Ramban, maybe a mitzvah ledoros in Taryag of Chanukah, Samizbech, that's the divine initiative and the divine decision. Everything depends upon Him, with a capital H, Yisbarach Shmo. But the bulk of the idea, and as it was formed by the Nesiim, is what makes up the final mitzvah as it incorporates in the Torah. And number two, then in the case of Pesach Sheni, where they were masking with their das to the das al yona was already a given. Almighty God had already given that mitzvah over to Moshe Rabbeinu in the form of potential. That whether or not that would have actualized itself, if there never would, again, this is a pure theoretical question, if there was no episode, no historical event of Tmei Nefesh coming forward to request the Pesach Sheni, whether that mitzvah would have been incorporated, would have been given or not, the possibility exists that it would not have been given, it would not have been incorporated in Taryag. That's an absolutely fascinating concept. What we began discussing in the previous shiur is the distinction between Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebal Peh, and the fundamental question as to why the Torah had to be given as two and not as one Torah. Couldn't all of the Torah be incorporated into Torah Shebichtav? Or on the contrary, could have all the Torah been transmitted as Torah Shebal Peh? We begin with the first source on your page introduction, which is a pasuk in Parashas Ki Tisa, Shmos, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chav Zayin,
Chazal noticed, Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani in Gittin Daf Samch noticed a stira, a lechora, at first glance, a contradiction between the first part of the pasuk and the second. Vayomer Hashem Moshe ksav lechas hadvarim ha'ela, commanding Moshe to write down the Torah. Obviously, it has to be written and cannot be transmitted by Alpeh. But the second part of the pasuk, the Sefer, ki al pi advarim ha'elu karati itcha, al pi advarim ha'elu indicates Torah Shbalpeh, the transmission of Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachmani says that from this contradiction we see clearly a distinction, and ever the twain shall meet. There's no overlap between the ksav lecha, the part of the Torah that has to be given in writing in a written form, but al pi hadvar me'ilu, the part of the Torah that's given, transmitted orally, and there's no overlap. Haketzad dvar shebichsav, those words of Torah that have to be written, you cannot transmit them orally. They must be transmitted in that surah, in that form, as they were given as Torah Shebichsav. And Dvar Shebalpeh, the rest of the Torah, which is an oral Torah, you're enjoined from and committing them to writing. They always have to remain oral, Balpeh. And I'm just reviewing what we learned yesterday. We didn't have the tape going yesterday, so I wanted to make sure that we review it together. This has to be a distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh that must be maintained, that must be observed for all eternity. Again, we'll get to the question of how we make these distinctions today and allow for the writing of Torah Shebalpeh. But the Maharal Prague on the bottom left corner of your introductory page presents a thesis as to why the Torah is divided into these two parts. Why is there such a strict, iron wall that separates between the Torah Shebichsav as it is transmitted and the Torah Shebalpeh as it is transmitted? No overlap. Da says the Maral, ki ein roi shetia haTorah Shebalpeh b'ksiva. Torah Shebalpeh cannot be committed to writing. Why? Mipnei shaTorah Shebalpeh hem pirtei haMitzvah uPirusheha v'davar zeh ein keitz v'sof. The Maral presents the thesis, and he's absolute about this, that Torah Shebalpeh, insofar as it's the interpretation of the mitzvahs, the elucidation of the mitzvahs with all their complexity, it's infinite. There's no keitz v'sof. Ki apratim ein lahem keitz. V'lo haya davar shalem im haya kosev mikzas bilvat. Something that's infinite, if you commit part of it to writing, it's only part. Then you're taking something that's infinite and you're limiting it. You're converting something that's ein keitz to something that's only mikzas, that's only partial. V'lachein, and therefore ein lichtov klal haTorah Shebalpeh. If you were to write Torah Shebalpeh, which is infinite, chasera, writing it would make it into something incomplete. You're being pogea. You're really, in a sense, trampling. You're devastating and vitiating the Torah Shebalpeh as it is. It's endless. It cannot be written because that converts it into something incomplete, chasera, deficient. Ki aksiva, only when you write something, Mora al hatmimus, that indicates the complete form. So you're telling me by writing down Torah Shebalpeh, this is the complete form. That's what ksiva is. And that's impossible because there's no complete form in Torah Shebalpeh. It's endless. Today someone comes up with a new shaila about technology, about Skype. Tomorrow somebody will come up with a new shaila, and we have to use our brains and figure out al pi derech haTorah, according to the klolim of the Torah, what the halacha would say about these cases. This is an endless endeavor. You can never straitjacket Torah Shebalpeh and limit it. It's something that if you write it down, you are making it something that is complete. This is the entire Torah. That's the nature of ksiva. Ksiva indicates tmimus, completeness, and yet that's only a fraction. It's only a segment. It's a ketipa min hayam of what Torah Shebalpeh is, and therefore you are vilifying the Torah Shebalpeh by changing it into a written form. Ki aksiva moral atmimus sheyia hakol kan. It indicates that everything is here. Biyachad, in one entity, in one book. A book has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a complete form. Varei Torah Sheval Peh, Efshar, you can't do that. You cannot talk about a completeness in Torah Sheval Peh. It's infinite, it can never be complete. How about Tehu in Dibur? So what's the advantage of giving over Torah Sheval Peh verbally, orally, when I transmit ideas through speech? Why don't I have the same problem that I'm making it into something complete? Here's the whole story, when it's really only a fraction. You're making a chasera. It's infinite. Says the Maral, a tremendous insight of the Maral into what speech is all that essentially. What is the inyan of Dibur Peh? He says, Eina kol biyachad. You can never give over the entire thing. Ki kasher midaber Dibur, whenever someone speaks, he's got one Dibur at that moment. V'achkach hasheni, goes on to another Dibur. Kfar holach lo Dibur arishon. The first Dibur is completely gone. It evaporates. It doesn't exist anymore. And therefore, Dibur, by definition, speech is fragmented. All you can give over in speech is fragments. V'lo shayach b'dibur t'mimus. In contrast to writing, where you have a beginning and an end, you have something complete, Dibur, speech, is only fragments. It's never the complete whole. And therefore, Dibur is absolutely appropriate for Torah Sheval Peh. Because when I indicate through Dibur that I'm transmitting only a fraction, only a fragment of the whole, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want to convey in Torah Sheval Peh. So it's appropriate as a method for transmitting Torah Sheval Peh is Dibur, because Dibur by definition is fragments. But Hefech Zeh, it's the exact opposite. If I take the Torah Shebichsav and I transmit it orally, is the Torah Shebichsav Shehi Shlemo Utmima, Torah Shebichsav, which is an entity and a complete whole, Mechuyev Hu Bichsav, he must transmit it in writing. For Lo Baal Peh, once he converts it into an oral speech, then he's indicating that it's fragmented. I'm giving only part. Now, let's ask the question, well, why can't I get up and transmit the Torah Shebichsav from beginning, from Breishis until the end, until the end of Kol Yisrael? If I have a photographic memory, or something near thereof, and I can give over the entire Torah Sheval Bichsav from the beginning to the end in Dibur, so now you have no problem. What are you saying? That Dibur is fragments? And now I'm giving over the whole thing. Says the Maral, no. Why? He says, by giving it over in speech, even if he were to give over the entire Torah in one fell swoop, but nevertheless, he's giving it in fragments. Because when he starts with the first Dibur, he doesn't have the second Dibur. When he gets the second Dibur, he's already lost the first Dibur. It's gone with the wind. The first part is gone. He's already undermined the Shlemus and the Tmimus, the perfection and the whole in the Torah Shebichsav by giving over the Sheval Peh. Lefichach, therefore, Tvarim Shebichsav, you cannot, you are absolutely enjoined and prohibited from giving over Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh, because once you do so, you're taking the written Torah, which is a perfect, complete whole, and by transmitting the written Torah orally Baal Peh, you're converting it from that of a complete whole into fragments. And the reverse is true, when you write down Torah Shebaal Peh, then you are giving it over as if it's complete, but really you're only giving a fraction, a small piece of Torah Sheval Peh, and therefore you're vitiating the nature, the infinite, endless nature of Torah Sheval Peh. The Maral repeats himself in a slightly different form in his Pirush on Rashi al Torah the Gurari. You'll see this on the right bottom side of your introductory page. He says, he refers to the Gemara in Erevin, Lama lo hutar lichtov Torah Sheval Peh, why are we enjoined from writing down Torah Sheval Peh? Mipnesha ein kates v'sof l'Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh is endless. The Maral is repeating what we saw before in the Maral. Here he invokes a pasuk in Koheles, asos farim harbi ein kates, that if you were to write books that incorporate Torah Sheval Peh, it would be ein kates, because Torah Sheval Peh is ein kates. It's endless, it's limitless. V'lo kosva Torah, the written Torah is only appropriate for the written Torah, which is a complete whole. The written Torah is a complete whole. It's limited. So to write Torah Shebaal Peh would be to take something that's limitless and to give it a limit, a hagbalah. So therefore, writing limits something, and it's in a sense, by writing something, you are conveying the message that this is the totality, that nothing more can be added. That's what writing is all about. So writing Torah Shebaal Peh is converting something that's limitless to something that's limited. And that we can't do. But the Torah Shebichsav, on the other hand, is a totality, is a complete whole. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's what Ksiva is all about. Therefore, Ksiva is appropriate for Torah Shebichsav. If you were to transmit Torah Shebichsav orally, you'd be making it into fragments that you can't do because it's a totality, it's a whole. If, on the other hand, you would take Torah Shebaal Peh and commit it to writing, you'd be taking something that's endless, that's limitless, and indicating that here it is as a totality. Writing Ksiva always indicates a totality. Perhaps we'll get a chance at some other occasion to discuss the approach of Rav Shimshon Lefarl Hirsch, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Hirsch has a very unique approach to explain why Torah had to be given both written, Torah Shebichsav, those are the basics, the fundamentals, and Torah Shebaal Peh, and the oral Torah. But now we want to get back to the pasuk in Parshas Ki Tisa and the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni in Gittin Daf Samach. You can either see this on your introductory page, or you can turn over to page 1 and you'll see this as number 4 on page 1. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni. What was Rabbi Yehuda's drasha? Ksiv Ksov Lecha Es HaDvarim Ha'ela Uksiv ki alpi dvarim eila. How do we reconcile the ksov, which indicates ksiva? Rashi amplifies this. Ksiv ksov lecha shel Rashi alma nichtava. It has to be written. And in the rest of the pasuk, the sefer, it says ki alpi dvarim eila. Says Rashi alpi dvarim eila indicates lo nichtava. It's not written. Haketzad, says Rabbi Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, in the name of Rav Shim ben Lakish, Dvarim Shebichsav Yata Rashoy Lomer Baal Peh, Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yata Rashoy Lomer Bichsav. And now we get stuck. What do we do with our situation today? So to analyze that, we'll look at another Gemara on the same daf in Gittin Daf Samach, and this is going to be number 6. On your Marmakomos page, page 1, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Amri Travayu, High Sefer, Aftarasa. What's Aftarasa? The Aftarasa is Miloshan Aftorah. The Aftoros were written down from Nach on parchment. And Rabbi Rabbi Yosef objected this. Asur l'mikrei Beis Shabbos. You can't read the Aftorah out of these parchments, these written forms of Tanakh, because they're only fractions, they're only individual Sfarim, and we have to write the entire Tanakh. Also, l'mikrei beis Shabbos, my time of the lo nitan likosef. Rashi says, pachus mi sefer echad sholem liatzmo. You know, to write a chapter in Sefer Yeshayo, for example, for the purpose of Haftorah, that's a violation of the law. We're not allowed to do so. We can write a full sefer, but nothing less. Like, for example, we saw the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, which is taka here in Gittin, of Megillah, Megillah, Nitneis, that the Torah was Gittin and Megillos. Each Megillah has a certain Shleimut to itself. And in Tanakh, every book of Tanakh, there are 24 books of Tanakh, each book has its own complete form. It's a complete whole, as we discussed before, regarding Torah Shebichsav. And writing off Torah, that's one fraction of a book, is prohibited. And not only that, Marbar Avashi extends that little tuli nami asa. There's even an Easter tiltal involved. My time adolo chazi l'mikri bay. No, it's on Shabbos. We have an Easter tiltal. Of course, you're allowed to move a book on Shabbos. You're allowed to read it. But in the case of Sefer Aftarasa, where there's no heter to write it, therefore there's no heter to move it. The movement, the tiltal on Shabbos is prohibited, but the Gemara rejects this. Velohi. Shari l'tiltule v'shari l'mikri bay. We don't accept the opinion of Rabbi Rav Ashi or the expansion of Marbar Rav Ashi. We accept the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish The Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Ma'ayne B'Sifra Da'agadeto B'Shabbos. Notice, we're no longer talking about Sefer Aftarasa. We're talking now about Sefer Agadeto. We know that the Shas is divided into, you have Mishnah, we have Halacha, we have Agada. The Agada are more the stories or the messages and the inspirational part, the philosophical part of Shas. And this Agadeto was written down on a Sefer, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish used to study it on Shabbos. That maybe they didn't want to spend all of Shabbos involved in the heavy learning of Halacha. Shabbos was a good time to relax, so to speak, and broaden your study to incorporate Agadeta, and there was Sifrei Agadeta that were written, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish studied from them. Frekta Gemara Valo Nitan Li Kosev. We're not permitted to take Agada and write it down. How were Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish allowed to have these Sifrei Agadeta written? And they would study them. And even on Shabbos, Valo Nitan Li Kosev, you're not allowed to write it down. Rashi says, Valo Nitan Li Kosev, Shum. It's three lines up from the bottom. I made it into italics to see the Rashi clearly. Shum Dvar Gemara V'alocha V'agada Kidamrina L'kamon. As the Gemara is going to say later on, we saw it earlier in number 4. We switched the order around. Ela Atakosev, that the Torah says in Parashas Kitoso K'sov L'cha, only this part of the Torah you're allowed to write, but the other parts of the Torah, which are Dvarim Shebal Peh, Ia Torah Shani L'omer M'ksav, you're not allowed to commit them to writing. Because Torah Shebal Peh cannot be written, and Torah Shebal Peh certainly includes, amongst many other things, Agadeta. So what was the license, what permitted Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to have Sifrei Agadeta? The whole institution of Sifrei Agadeta, of writing down Agadah as part of Torah Shebal Peh in writing, is completely forbidden. We're enjoined from doing so. And certainly, therefore, it becomes not only also to read from it, it becomes also to write it and to move it on Shabbos because of the additional Easter of Tiltul. In fact, the Gemara Valoni Tanli Kosev, you're not allowed to take Torah Shebal Peh and write it down. Ella, but rather, Kev unto Lo Efshar. Whatever that means, we have to see. Kev unto Lo Efshar is therefore in the Gemara now. The Gemara now invokes the pasuk, almost the principle of in Tehillim Kuf Yutes Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sorasecha. In this pasuk, that's exactly what we're going to be discussing over and over again throughout this mini series on Mesiras HaTorah Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sorasecha. The Torah itself can be violated for the sake of Eis, a time period, Lasos Lashem. We have to act on behalf of Almighty God. Hachinami here too with regard to Sifrei Agadeta, and we could apply it to Sifrei Aftarasa, the Lo Efshar. It's impossible to do it otherwise, and therefore Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Sarsecha. And now we want to study this concept of Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Sarsecha, just to understand the meaning of these words as the Gemara understood them and applied them. Rashi, we'll take a look at two Rashis. Rashi and Gittin here in the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Sifrei Agadeta, and Rashi and Tehillim on Kuf Yutes Pasuk Kuf Chavav. Keep in mind that Tehillim Kuf Yutes is the longest perek in all of Tanakh. Here we're up to the letter Ayin, and we still have a bunch of letters left. Each letter gets 8 psukim, so we're in Pasuk Kuf Chavav. So first let's look at Rashi in the Gemara. Rashi says Kev Handelo Efshar Milichtov. There's no way out. We have to commit the Agada to writing. We no longer have the broad hearts and the capability of transmitting the Torah, Baal Peh, and remembering it. Torah is getting forgotten. And therefore, Eis Lasos Lashem. In Ba Eis Lasos Takana L'Shem Shamayim, when a time period comes in Jewish history where we have to make a Takana for the sake of heaven, if need be, hey feru divrei Torah l'shah atzricha, they would even have to violate the Torah's rules for the sake of a takana l'shem shemayim when it's actually necessary. And Hachinami came into Lo Efshar. We can't do it. We can't do it in the case of reading the Haftorah. We can't do it in the case of studying Agadeta Ein called Tzibur Tzibur Yecholes Lichtov Neviim Shalem. You can't expect that every community in Israel would have the entire Navi, that whole Sefer, written down on a parchment. We can only hope that partially segments of Tanakh will be written in order to facilitate the reading of the Haftorah, and that's the way we're going to have to do it. Eis lasos l'Hashem eferes orsech. We now have two applications of the rule, of this over-umbrella rule of Eis lasos l'Hashem. First of all, allowing us to write part of a Sefer Tanakh, part of a Sefer that's called Haftorah, Sefer Haftorasa, and then we're writing down, committing Torah Shebaal Peh, in the case of Haggadah, to writing, because we cannot remember the Haggadah unless we write it down, and that too is Eis Lasos Lashem, Heferu Sorsech. Looking at Rashi, number 8 on your page, Rashi, in his commentary on Tehillim, says on the third line, you'll see Rabbi Senu Darsha Mimenu, they darshan, they derive from this pasuk she overim al divrei Torah kidei lasos siag v'geder liYisrael, that in order to create a fence around the Torah and avoid worse violations, more fundamental criminal acts, then to create a siag and a geder, they will sometimes violate the Torah itself. It's a question of balancing, a balancing act. You know, the goal, the ends justify the means in this case. And Rashi invokes the famous sugya in Tanakh of Eliyahu bar Carmel, where Eliyahu violated the Isur of Bama, of creating an altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and he did so in order to save Klal Yisrael from worshipping Baal, that idol. And therefore we see from Eliyahu HaKarmel, as it expressed itself in this pasuk of Eis Lasos Lashem, that sometimes legeder adover, in order to prevent Klal Yisrael from falling over the precipice and falling deep, deep down into a terrible spiral avalanche of violation of criminal acts, you're allowed to violate the Torah L'tzorach Shah. That's Eis Lasos Lashem. Obviously it has to be Lashem for the sake of defending the Torah. And here we want to mention the Tosus Rid, which you'll see in number 5 on your page, in explaining how it was that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish allowed for the writing of Haggadah of Torah Baal Peh. He says, Mishum Eis Lasos Lashem Hitiru Chachamim Lichtov. There was a head, there was a license to write Torah Baal Peh. Ubazes Somach Rebbe, meaning Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who authored the Mishnah, Shekosav HaMishnah, the Achrov, and following in the aftermath of Rebbe, who authored the Mishnayos, Habraisos, how are they able to write, what permission they have to violate the Isur Torah Shebaal Peh, Biksav, by writing the Braisos, Viravina, Viravashi, Kosva, Talmud, they offer the Talmud, the entire Shas Bavli, V'chein kol chachmei adoros kosvim perusheihem. And throughout the generations, the Chachamim committed their Chidushim to writing. They wrote Sfarim after Sfarim. The library of Klal Yisrael, the Amas Sefer, is endless. And how is that so? It's all Torah Shebaal Peh. How can it be written every time someone writes a Chiddush? And Rav Moshe Feinstein writes his Tshuvas, which is the Igros Moshe. It's Torah Shebaal Peh. How can he write it? And how can the Tzitz Eliezer write his Tshuvas? Rav Elazar Waldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer, I don't know how many volumes it is. And the Chidushim that were written by all the Gedolei Yisrael. Again, in Brisk, they were very hesitant to publish their writing. Eis Lasos Lashem, they didn't feel the justification. But other than that, beyond the confines of Brisk, you find an endless amount of Torah that's being written, that's being published on a daily basis. Perhaps in our generation more than any generation before, says the Tosfos Rid, that entire situation can only be understood in the light of this Gemara of Eis Lasos Hashem. Even though the Gemara strictly only applies it to Sefer Haftarasa, to Sefer Haggadah, nevertheless, it's a breakthrough, it's a revolution. It teaches us that if there's a fear of Shichacha, that the Torah might be forgotten, we're allowed, we're permitted, Eis Lasos Hashem, at that period of time, to write Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's how Rebbe was able to write the Mishnah, to author the Mishnah. By the way, I'd like to share with you the Orach HaShulchan here, number 7. This is totally parenthetical to our discussion. What is the meaning of the word Haftorah or Haftorah? What does it mean? Just in the syntax. And the Orach HaShulchan presents two explanations in the name of the Levush and then his own original one. The Levush offers his first pshat. Why is it called Maftir and Haftorah? Miloshen, it's a Hebrew word. The root of the word is Ptur, an exemption. Mipnei Shebashas HaGzera, when there was a gzera of the Romans that they wouldn't let the people of Israel read the Torah publicly, and there was a chiyuv, a mitzvah incumbent upon the Jewish people to read the Torah on Shabbos and Yontif, and they couldn't fulfill this mitzvah. The legions of the Romans were very strict. They supervised, they watched Klal Yisrael to make sure that they wouldn't violate it, the pain of death. This gzera, this terrible decree, Hayu niftarim mikriyat shema, how did they exempt themselves from the chiyuv of kriyat shema by reading the haftorah? So the word haftorah is milashim p'tur. The Ode in his second explanation is Kol Zman Kriyas HaTorah Asur Ledaber, you're not allowed to speak during the time period of Kriyas HaTorah, Akach Mutu Ledaber, and he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh to indicate that the word Haftorah or Ptur Yaftiru B'Safa means that they could speak. Haftorah means to speak, meaning speak other than something that's strictly related to the Parsha, to the Haftorah, and that the Iser of speaking during Kriyas HaTorah is alleviated after the Kriyas HaTorah completes itself in the time of the HaTorah. But the Aruch HaShulchan wants to offer his own pshat, the Yoser Nira. He's more convinced Shu Lashon HaSchala, that the word HaTorah means to begin something. And he borrows it from the Mishnah at the end of Psachim Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikoma, meaning before we're not allowed, after we eat the afkom, we're not allowed to begin, we're not allowed to kick off a new meal to begin, lahaschil. So the word aschola is maftirin, and haftorah means to begin. We begin divrei novi, and it's lashon arami, it's not lashon kodesh. The word haftorah, vei maftirin, achar pesach, don't begin a meal after the afikom, or don't begin reading the novi. That's a lashon aramit, and it was used here for the word haftorah because we wanted to explain to the Hamon Am, who understood the vernacular at that time, was Aramit, and that's the meaning of the word Haftorah. Where else does the Gemara apply the principle of Eis Lasos Lashem? And we'll begin this in Mirtz Hashem in this year, we'll continue it, God willing, next week. The Gemara, the Sugyan Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel, with regard to the mitzvah or the kiyum of Adam Shoel B'Shlom Chavero, a person is allowed to use the name of God and invoke God's name, which normally is usur. It's very strict. Lo tisa Hashem Hashem Lashav. We can't just use the name of God in vain. We can't enunciate His holy name just for the sake of whatever. So, a person telling a story and he mentions God's name, you're not allowed to do that. That's a severe violation. And here you're greeting someone. Who gave you the license to greet someone and mention God's name? And the Gemara derives that this practice began at the time of Boaz in Sefer Rus. And Boaz would say, Hashem Imachem, Hashem Imcha Gibbot Chayil. And how is that permitted? And the Gemara once again invokes this pasuk in Tehillim, this principle that underlies the halacha of Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sarasech. We'll have to see, as we study Eis Lasos Lashem, what was the pressing need to allow one to invoke the name of God in his being Shoel B'Shlom Chavero when he was greeting his friend. Why did they institute that? And why was it called Eis Lasos Lashem? That'll be for next week.